We've all been there. That moment when a casual conversation about politics or religion suddenly erupts into hostility. The air thickens, faces flush, and any hope for understanding evaporates. In our increasingly polarized society, meaningful dialogue across differences has become both rare and desperately needed. Drawing from diverse disciplines, from hostage negotiation to cognitive psychology, Peter Boghossian and James Lindsay offer a practical roadmap for navigating our most challenging conversations. Their approach has gained praise across the political spectrum precisely because it transcends partisan divides to focus on something more fundamental: how human minds connect, resist, and occasionally transform through conversation. The single most important step toward productive dialogue is abandoning the winning mindset. When Boghossian had a heated argument about affirmative action years ago, he wasn't listening. He was interrupting, shifting topics, and trying to score points. His colleague rightfully called him an asshole and walked away. The lesson? Approaching conversations as battles guarantees failure. Instead, view yourself as a conversation partner, working collaboratively toward mutual understanding. This partnership mindset transforms interactions even with those holding repugnant beliefs, like Daryl Davis, an African-American who befriended KKK members and helped dozens leave the organization. Building rapport is equally essential. When people feel comfortable, they become less defensive and more open. Start with light conversation, find common ground, and practice basic courtesy. Remember that delivering messages rarely works. People instinctively reject delivered information, but accept ideas they believe are their own. During World War II, only 3% of people lectured about incorporating organ meats into meals did so, compared to 37% who generated reasons themselves. The takeaway? People change their own minds. We can only create conditions that make this possible. Ask questions rather than making statements. When someone claims the government is corrupt, respond with, "What do you mean by corrupt?" Many disagreements stem from different word interpretations. Focus on specific questions instead of general topics. Use how or what questions to encourage thoughtful responses. When someone makes a claim, simply ask, "How do you know that?" Their reasoning typically falls into categories: personal experience, cultural norms, religious teaching, or evidence. This approach bypasses rehearsed messages and helps avoid the backfire effect, where people entrench when their beliefs are challenged. People rarely admit mistakes if they fear humiliation, especially on moral issues tied to their identity as good people. Create golden bridges, escape routes allowing graceful mind changing without embarrassment. Use phrases like, "Everyone makes mistakes," or "This is an extremely complicated issue," to provide safe paths for reconsideration. Explicitly agree with your conversation partner when possible. Choose language carefully. Avoid using "you," which can trigger defensiveness. Instead, refer to "that belief" or "that statement." Use collaborative language like "we" and "us," which signals mutuality. When you realize you're wrong during a conversation, admit it. "I just realized I might be wrong. I'm changing my mind." This honest acknowledgement models the openness you hope to inspire. Counterintuitively, introducing facts into morally charged discussions often backfires. People typically form beliefs first, then seek supporting evidence, not the reverse. Even with overwhelming scientific consensus like evolution, 34% of Americans reject it because moral and social factors override rational thinking. Instead of offering evidence, ask questions that expose contradictions. Focus on epistemology by questioning how they know what they claim to know. Ask, "What evidence would change your mind?" Only introduce facts when requested and express appropriate uncertainty. When someone claims their belief cannot be disconfirmed, they're asserting absolute knowledge. Rather than presenting counter-evidence, offer hypothetical scenarios that might falsify their belief. if they reject all disconfirming conditions, shift to identity questions, like, what would it mean to you if you abandon that view? This approach works because it addresses how beliefs actually form, through complex interplays of identity, emotion, and social belonging, rather than rational evaluation of evidence. By understanding this process, you can engage with the true foundations of belief rather than its surface manifestations. Every conversation occurs on three interconnected levels: facts, what happened, emotions, feelings and reactions, and identity, self-perception. When engaging with ideologues, apparent discussions about facts are actually deeper dialogues about morality and identity, fundamental questions about being a good person. Since morality and identity operate emotionally rather than rationally, challenging these beliefs triggers neurological responses similar to physical danger. This explains why political arguments feel threatening. They're about who we are, not just policies. To navigate effectively, acknowledge your conversation partner's good intentions and affirm their moral identity. I can see you really care about doing what's right. Shift from positions to underlying values. What principles guide your thinking? Explore those values with genuine curiosity, then gently question their moral epistemology, how they determine right from wrong. This approach works because most people maintain strong moral convictions with only vague awareness of how they reach them. By acknowledging someone as fundamentally good while examining their path to moral conclusions, you create space for reconsideration without threatening their core identity. Research by moral psychologist Jonathan Haidt reveals that liberals and conservatives prioritize different moral foundations. Conservatives typically respond strongly to all six moral foundations, particularly emphasizing loyalty, group solidarity, authority, respect for tradition, and sanctity, purity values. Liberals tend to prioritize care, preventing harm, fairness, equality, and liberty, personal freedom. These fundamental differences explain why political conversations often deteriorate. Participants are speaking different moral languages without realizing it. To bridge this divide, learn to speak other moral dialects by using key words that resonate with your partner's value system: leadership, tradition, and responsibility for conservatives; disadvantaged, equality, and harm prevention for liberals. This moral reframing transforms seemingly impossible conversations by connecting your ideas to values your conversation partner already holds. Rather than trying to convert someone to an entirely new moral framework, you're building bridges between different ethical intuitions that may share more common ground than initially apparent. These techniques are worthless unless you practice them consistently. Start with low-stakes conversations, gradually building your repertoire of skills. Pay attention to verbal and nonverbal cues that indicate what's working. Keep a mental record of successful approaches and challenging moments. Remember that even skilled conversationalists make mistakes. What matters is learning from them. The path to better conversations isn't about winning arguments, but creating mutual understanding. By focusing on epistemology rather than conclusions, you encourage others to examine their own thinking processes. These skills extend beyond improving individual discussions. They strengthen relationships, enhance critical thinking, and contribute to healthier civic discourse in our polarized world. As you practice these techniques, others often begin to mirror your approach, creating a positive feedback loop that elevates conversation quality. Every meaningful change in human history started with a conversation. Your commitment to better dialogue isn't just about personal growth. It's about contributing to a more thoughtful, understanding world. In times of division, the simple act of truly listening might be the most revolutionary thing you can do.